is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
As we stand to proclaim your word, Father, give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Speak to me. Speak through me. That this four-point series on waiting that you have given me, that I may be a tool, a vessel by which the word can go forth. We thank you. We lift you on high. Thank you for the scriptures that were read, prayers that were prayed, songs that were sung, instruments that were played. For it is all for your glory, and it is for your honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the 40th book of Isaiah, again, giving honor to the triune Godhead, to Reverend Slaughter, First Lady Sister Green, our ministers' wives that are present, these deacons and deaconess, these ministers of music, this choir, and to all of you, my brothers and sisters. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Isaiah, prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40, commencing at verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As we begin this series of sermons on the advantages of waiting on God, number one, the first advantage, it's for your benefit. Thank you, Urshifus. It's for your benefit. Who likes to wait? Not many of us do. But nevertheless, we find ourselves doing it a lot. Frequently throughout the day and countless times throughout the week, we find ourselves waiting. We wait for traffic lights to turn green. We wait for trains to pass by. We wait in the bank line, in the grocery store line. We wait for toast to pop up, water to boil. We wait for the movie and the ball game to start. We wait for phone calls. We wait for some people to show up. We wait for buses to come, planes to land, car lines to move. We wait for our turn in the doctor's office, the dentist's office, the barber shops and beauty shop. We wait for the next weekend. We wait for the next vacation. We wait for a day off. We spend a lot of time in life waiting, and And we really don't like waiting because we are people of instant gratification. We want everything, and we usually want it right now. But I come to tell you, your shout is this. It is not what you're waiting on, but it's who you're waiting on. And who you're waiting on makes it worth the wait. There are some people that I would advise you not to wait on, because they may let you down. But God is worth waiting on, because whenever he decides to show up, things will happen. When he showed up late on purpose at Lazarus' grave, they thought it was too late. But 4 days late made him right on time. I wish I had somebody to testify. When you think God is late, he's right on time. In verse 28, the prophecy of Isaiah gives us some helpful, holy hints on why we should wait on God. Remember, it's not what we're waiting on, it's who we're waiting on. And so verse 28 tells us who we are waiting on. Who is he, preacher? Have thou not known? Has thou not heard? He says, the everlasting God. And when we look at the word, the name everlasting God, it's the name Elohim. The name identifies as God, as eternal God. That's who you are waiting on, the eternal God. You ain't waiting on Buddha. You're not waiting on Confucius. You're not waiting on something man made, but you're waiting on who made man. And one, he's the everlasting God. He is the eternal God. There has never been a time when he wasn't. There will never be a time when he isn't. He is not a Johnny come lately God in spiritual matters. He shows up in time and on time, just when we need him in the nick of time. God shows up. And I wish I had somebody to testify and say he will show up. How many believe that he will show up? The only reason why you're here this morning, because he showed up. Many died from COVID-19. Many contracted the virus, but you still here. So he showed up. Don't tell me he won't show up. Even when there were the shortages of food in the grocery store and you gained 10 pounds, I'd come to tell me he showed up. He's the everlasting God. He existed when there was nothing but him. And he will always exist. So he says in verse 28, the everlasting God. But then he says the Lord. Lord, this is the name Jehovah. The name identifies him as the self-existing one. This is who you're waiting on. An eternal God and a self-existing God. What I mean by self-existing, you see, other beings in the universe depends on some other beings for their existence. In other words, your daddy winked his eye at your mama, you came forth, and you thanked them for your existence. Everybody in here are existing because they had a mother and a father that came together and produced you, and you are the reason why, they are the reason why you exist. But God exist by himself, within himself, and for himself. God didn't need nobody to bring him into existence. He was already existing before time came into play. So what I'm trying to tell you while you're waiting, this is who you're waiting on. The one who holds time in the palm of his hand. So what? If you got an eviction notice, God got time. So what if you got a repossession notice? God, hey, how many believe God has time? Can I get somebody to testify and say, when I thought it was all over, it was just beginning. I got an eviction notice, but I still got a roof over my head. I had a repossession notice, but I'm still getting to point A to point D. The doctor gave me a bad report, but I'm still breathing. How many can testify that God is God all by himself? I'm trying to encourage you this morning. That's who you're waiting on. Not only does the Lord name identifies him as the existing one, but also identifies him as the covenant keeper. The covenant keeper means he's a God that stands on his word. His word will never fail, and God can be trusted. You see, even the pastor, the preachers, the deacons might let you down. You might call on us and we not answer the phone. But then there's a God. Already knows what you need before you even ask him. He will never. So in verse 28, before we get into the text, Isaiah wants you to know he's worth waiting on. Because God will supply every need. So let's look into the text. Let's see the advantages of waiting on God. Let's see why it is for our benefit. And when you look at the word benefit, benefit really means the advantage of profit. Profiting something gained from something. So if I have a benefit of waiting, that means while I was waiting, I gained something from it. So let's look. Look what he says in verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increased strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Isaiah wrote this thousands of years ago. Look where our youth are now. They are falling in their youth. By the wayside. A child expectancy to make 17 is a gift from God. What's going on today? Can I just say it the way I feel it? Parents, quit being so weak with your children. Quit being so scared of your children. I don't want to offend them, and I don't want to offend them and make them angry. Let them know who's ahead of your house. Let them know that I'm the parent and you're the child. You weren't born to be my friend. You were born to be my child, and I will be your parent. If you don't like the rules I got in my house, get your own. All that foolishness, I don't want to upset my child. Upset them. My mama upset at me many days, but I ain't say nothing back to her. Isaiah points out between where we're going and where we just come from. He talks about the power of God that he's worth waiting on. But then he says in verse 29, don't let your youth, that your youth is the only source of your strength. He was saying the young men will fall just like any old. But he gives the conjunction here. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The first thing I get an inward strength from God. Look at the word he says, renew. Renew means to resume an activity after an interruption. So it says, if I'm going to renew my strength, it means that I once had it, but I got interrupted and it weakened me. But trusting God that what I lost, I was able to gain it again. And my brothers and sisters, I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me. This road is rough. Just going is tough. The hills are hard to climb. But I decided a long time ago to make Jesus my choice. And even though things may weaken me, I thank God for prayer. Because in prayer, where I get my strength from. Quit trying to gain your strength from other folk. Because other people will let you down. But I know a God. Let me say it again. I know a God that when you are weak, he said, baby, you're stronger than you think you are. How many can testify and say, I'm a little stronger than I thought I was? I'm a little stronger than I thought it was. And watch it. Let me help you out. You're stronger now coming out of COVID than when you were coming into COVID. You got stronger because you began to trust in God and nobody else. There's a song that says, the God on the mountain is still the God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make things get right. He's the God of good time as well as the God of bad times. He's the God of the day, and he's still the God of the night. That's the God that we serve. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord, the sovereign one, the everlasting one, the covenant keeper, he said, you will renew your strength. And one thing about God, when he strengthens you, come here, David. I need to borrow you 23rd Psalm. When God strengthens you, he's going to strengthen you right in the ones that were laughing at you when you were weak. Oh, I wish I had somebody to testify. He said, because when I get ready to set your table, I'm not going to do it behind the curtain. I'm going to prepare that table right in the presence of your enemies. When you are on drugs, the same one says you will never mount to anything. When I call you to preach, I'm going to make sure they're there when you preach your first sermon. How many can testify and say God can bring you out? God can renew your mind. God can renew your spirit. If you wait on him, I would gain an inward strength. But then he says that if I wait on him and be renewed, I will mount up with wings like an eagle. So not only will I have an inward strength, now I have an upward strength. I can't speak for you, but I've been down long enough. It's time for me to get up. And to, watch this, here it is. To go up, you got to learn to get up. You want to lay down and ask God to bless you. You got to get up. You got to get up from feeling sorry for yourself. You got to get up with all that foolishness. Oh, they didn't speak to me this Sunday, and they speaking to everybody. Baby, look, I didn't come here for you to speak to me. I came here to give God praise, and I can care less if you speak to me, because you don't have no heaven and no hell to put me in. I didn't come here to shake your hand. I come to raise my hand in the sanctuary. You have to have an upward strength. And he uses one of God's unique animals that's in his kingdom. He uses an eagle. And the eagle have learned to apply itself while it waits. Over time, watch this. I did my little homework. Over time, an eagle's razor-sharp claws will go dull. Over time, the beak will lose its sharpness. The eagle's feathers will lack its brilliance and its luster as time goes on. And the eagle would even gain weight, but it would prohibit his flying ability, that he cannot soar the way he once did. So when the eagle gets to this part where his claws are dull, his beak is dull, and his feathers are losing the luster, the eagle one day will fly off and be gone for a good while. And what the eagle would do, he would fly off and find a safe haven in a cliff. And in that cliff, the eagle will nest. While he's waiting, That eagle would get those claws and on the edge of that cliff begin to rub his claws. While he's waiting, he plucks out all of his feathers till the eagle is look like he's in bad shape. But while he's waiting and everybody is wondering where he is, he's sharpening his claws. Then he began to hit his head, his beak against an edge of a cliff as his beak began to sharpen. Everybody is still wondering where he is. Where has he gone? Anybody seen him? But the eagle is just waiting patiently. He's not in a hurry because he knows he's dealing with some dull things. And he no longer has the bite that he once had. He no longer has the beauty that he once had. So he had to separate himself, get by himself, and start working on himself. The eagle now rub his claws against the rocks. And the rocks serve as like a sandpaper as they begin to sharpen him up. And if you look at him doing this process, watch this. The eagle looks bad. No beak, no claws, no beautiful feathers. He looks bad. He's in bad shape. But as he waits, the regeneration process begins. See, he had to knock off the old claws to get new claws. And there's some things on you been on you too long, you need to knock it off. There's some hatred that's been on you too long, you need to knock it off. There's some enemy that's been on you too long, you need to knock it off. Need to quit walking in church and thinking church is all about you, you need to knock it off. You ain't come here to be seen, you come here to show God up, you need to knock it off. I wish somebody, look, tell your neighbor, it's time to knock it off. Go on, tell them, don't be scared of them, tell them, it's time to knock it off. The regeneration process begins. And as the eagle claws get sharp, he can now pierce his prey very easily. The beak is now sharper than a razor blade. And he had to be in bad shape to get sharp again. Y'all just missed what I'm saying. He had to get in bad shape just to come out sharp again. Sometimes God allows you to go through this process. That's why he said you're going to mount up with wings like eagles. But before you get the wings like an eagle, you might have to get in some bad shape. You might have to go through some rough days. But God said when it's all said and done, they've been looking for you and wondering where you are. But when they see you again, you're going to be soaring like an eagle. He said, you're going to mount up with wings like eagles. In Indian culture, the Indians would watch an eagle. And when an eagle flying in a certain direction, the Indians would follow that eagle because the eagle know a storm is coming. And when you don't see the eagle anymore, it doesn't mean that the eagle is not there. He just soared above the clouds. The storm is still raging, but it won't affect him because he done mounted up his wings. You see, you're going to still have storms in your life, but when you got wings like an eagle, God will let you stand over your storm and protect you until the storm is over. Quit hollering about, I want to mount up with wings like eagles. Well, you're going to have to go through hell. You have to deal with hell raisers. But then when it's all over, you're going to have an upward strength. See, I'm flying high this morning, and I don't need marijuana to do it. I'm flying high this morning. I don't need no crack cocaine to do it. I'm flying high this morning. I don't need Singram, gin, and juice, Boom Farm, 3 for $5, Mad Dog 2020. I don't need none of that. I just have what God gave me, wings. I wish somebody could say, flap your wings. Trouble is all around me, but I got wings. Hell is all around me, but I've got. Look, go ahead and do it like Marvel's Day, like the bird. Go ahead on and do it because you've got the wings. When somebody asks you,
Why isn't that trouble bothering you? Tell him I got upward strength. Why haven't that brought you down yet? I got upward strength. What, Michelle Obama, when they go low, you go high. So I have an inward strength and an upward strength. But then he says, you shall run and not be weary. Now I don't have an inward and an upward, but then I have an outward strength. I will begin to run. Galatians 6:9 said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You notice he didn't say sit and run. He said run and not be weary. You got to keep running this race. Even if you get exhausted, you've got to keep running. And what keeps me running is because I'm looking at the finish line. And I'm looking at my reward at the finish line. Jesus is standing there with his reward in my hand. Mark 13:13 said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Quit giving up on God, because God has never given up on you. Woo. Now there's something that we used to say that as life has drawn me older, I've discovered that some of it is not true. I hear people say, I'm running and I'm not tired yet. I get tired. I'm still running, but I'm not going to lie to you. I get tired. But see, when he talks about running here, he's taking a page out of a marathon runner. A marathon runner would run for some 25, 30 miles, and they would run even if they get tired. They will slow down, but they would never stop running. They don't have to come in first place, third or fourth, but they'll keep on running. And there are people on the sidelines, hear me good, while they are running, giving them refreshments to drink, to replenish what they lost while they were running. But you notice if you watch them, they don't grab it and stop it. They grab it. See, the problem with us, when God blesses us on this journey, we want to stop and look at it. You got to learn to keep on running. And so he says, run and not be weary. And then as I close, he says, walk and not faint. So not only do I have an inward strength, an upward strength, an outward strength, now I have an onward strength. Then I'm going to walk, I'm going to keep walking, and I'm going to not faint. Y'all just missed the whole text. He just said run. But now he's saying walk. In other words, he's saying between your beginning and your end, you're going to get tired along the way. See, walking is still a forward progressive movement. He said, even if you got to slow down, keep on moving. Even if the weight of your trouble have slowed you down, keep on praying. Even if the weight of your circumstances have put a frown in your face as well as your heart, when you get to church, still give me praise. See, it's okay to praise God with some of us when everything's going well, but can you praise God when hell all around you? Can you praise God when you got so much weight on you can barely stand up? Can you just give him a praise for him being God and God all by himself? He never abandoned you. He never walked away from you. And somebody in this church know if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side. Oh, yeah. I've got an onward strength. I'm ready to move forward. And as we get ready to go in 2022, if it's the Lord's will, we've got to be ready to go. And to really go there, we've got to have an inward, upward, outward, and onward strength. Because there are some things we're going to face in this coming year as though we have not already faced them this year. But as I leave you, triumph and failure always go together. They come together like a head and a tail of the same coin.